Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and as always, I will be your host for today's show. With me today is the author of the launch book, part of the Concise Advice series, Sanyin Singh. How are you today, Sanyin?
Doing great. Excited to be here. Excited to be in London.
Yeah, it's great to have you come here and join us in actually what is a rather sunny day today. We've had nothing but horrible rain, very typical for an August here in London for any visitors outside of the United Kingdom that think about visiting us in August. You do get a bit of sunny weather occasionally. But of course, for our listeners, Sanyin is not only the author of the launch book, but she is also a CEO coach, advisor to Google Ventures, and the executive director of Duke University's Coach Case Center on Leadership and Ethics at its Fuqua School of Business. She is faculty with Duke's Story Lab, and she has come today all the way from the US to talk about her new book and the ideas behind what makes a successful launch. But before we get into the book itself, the one question I ask anyone that comes on the podcast is, what inspired you to become an author?
Oh my goodness. Well, I've always loved books, and I've seen the power of books in that they're able to convey ideas, and they are able to connect with readers and help people think in new and fresh ways. And so what inspired me to be an author is I've always loved writing. I love books. Natural progression is to love writing as a platform for sharing ideas that I believe can help others. And so with the launch book, on one hand, it's a love song. It's chock full of stories from people who have influenced me in my own launches. And so it's a love song to those people. And with the book, in writing this book, it's a way of amplifying their messages so that others beyond me can be the beneficiaries of that wisdom.
I see. And as we're now on the topic of the book, launching a business or an idea for that matter is often quite daunting and intimidating to people. There can be a lot of questions that you need to know. There's a lot that you want to ask and you want to learn about. And of course, the book is a great example of how we can learn a lot about launching something. But why does that happen, and how do we mitigate it? Where is this feeling coming from?
So the irony in launching, I've gone through so many different launches in my own career. And when we all reflect back, there's times that we didn't realize we're actually launching something, right? And even with all the launches, or for me, I've launched so many different 1,000-piece, 1,500-piece articles. I thought launching a book would be pretty easy by now. And others looking at me would say, yeah, you know, it should be easy. You've written pieces. Now just go write a book. The irony in launching the launch book is that I was experiencing everything that I was writing about. First and foremost, the fear of failure. Something can be a tremendous success only like when it's still an idea in your head, but once you commit to being on the path, the possibility of failure becomes really real, and that's scary. So that fear of failure led to huge procrastination. And it also lead to anxiety about how it will come out, or whether it will come out on, whether it will be written and delivered on time, whether I'll be able to meet the deadline. And I think that's an analogy. I share that because I think it's an analogy to any launches that are that we find worthwhile, is we have to find our why behind them, and we have to also launch in pursuit of becoming our best selves.
Yeah, and I think this road of self-improvement actually is also not so much about launching a product, or in this case, a project like a book, but actually launching yourself.
Yes,
in a way.
Yes.
And something that really stuck out for me is this idea, so much reality as well, of anxiety and procrastination. And I think for a lot of people, whether they're starting off in education, whether they're moving on, and you as someone who works in a university environment, is probably something that you have seen. And I think a very rewarding part of that perhaps is overcoming it, overcoming that initial hurdle. But that leads me on to kind of my next question. And you've now completed a book, and people can go out there and they can read it. But with all this experience that you had behind it, can you perhaps give our listeners some strategies or perhaps tips on how they can launch their own success in a way?
Mm-hmm. So I think when we are launching something, we tend to immediately jump to the tactics because those are the tangibles, right? We think, well, if we're launching, we decide to try a different career path, or imagine if you are a graduate, you're about to graduate from university, you can think about, you're thinking about a job in a particular field, it's very easy to immediately jump to what should go on my resume, you know, all the nitty-gritty details. My advice for that is to step back, or when you're launching a business, to go into pricing models immediately.
Right.
Say, step back and let's focus on the mindset. That's a lot of what this book is about, is the fundamentals, which deal with the mindset. So one part of that framework is, one, you have to know who you are. You have to launch in alignment with who you are, because when you're launching something, because of that fear of failure we talked about earlier, you're going to go through ups and downs, and things are not always within your control. So in order to sustain you through those downs, you have to have a deep sense of belief. And you can't believe in something if it's not aligned with you. So knowing who you are and launching in alignment with who you are. And two, no one launches alone. Yes, even single founders, there's always a launch tribe with them. We don't succeed alone, nor do we get up from failure alone. And so we have to develop a launch tribe and bring others in. And then you have to be able to pivot and reframe, because the end result of your idea may be very different than what you started off with. And last is keep moving forward. You have to next play. And then as Coach K, who's a wonderful mentor and friend, always says, next play. And as part of that, you have to be generous every step of the way. Don't wait until you think you've made it to be generous. Give back, invest in others, help others, no matter where you are in your launch process.
Yeah, and as a very famous saying goes, which I will not attempt to pronounce in Latin, know thyself is something which I think is at the very core of any process of self-improvement.
Yes.
Any launch in our life. But I think there's something there that you mentioned that I really want to touch upon, and perhaps going even slightly off curve of our, let's say, schedule of questions. But what really stuck out for me is that you said you're not alone. You know, you're not the only person that's working on whatever it is, even if it's a single person project. Well, I'm sure there's other people or other instances of help that you've received along
that's
the way.
Right.
And something that really sticks out for me is whether it comes to launches in business, often we are presented with this superstar idea of someone who's, you know, they're an absolute go-getter. They go out there and they've done this, and now they're valued at an astronomical gazillion, you know, worth of whatever much money and their business and everything. But this portrayal, this kind of buzz within media or social media in specific, do you think that it can actually cloud people's vision of what it takes to get a successful launch? I mean, it's never one person, like you say.
I think the stories, they have elements in it that are illustrative of, say, grit and perseverance, which are important. I think what hasn't been highlighted enough, because it's a better story sometimes to say this person, wow, they were down on their luck and then they had an idea and they moved forward. What hasn't been highlighted is all the other people surrounding them who have helped them, you know, and also the people whom they've helped. All the effective and successful leaders whom I know and work with, they have been mentored and they also mentor others. It's this relationship with others. And the world I'm in, the leadership world, leadership is nothing without followers. It's that relationship between leader and follower. And every launcher, it's that relationship between the person launching and also their team, their customer. I mean, a book, it's the reader who is my customer. In products or services, the customer is very obvious there. In careers, it's the industry in which that's going to hire you. that's your customer. And so it has to have a sense, you have to engage with them to really understand how it can be relevant to them. So that one of the paradoxes is no person launches alone. And actually the launch isn't really, it's your growth, but it's every launch is really about the others around you.
Yeah, and there's something that we touched upon earlier, and this idea of failure, you know, something that it can grind at people, and whether it comes out with anxiety, you know, procrastination like we talked about, or just straight up failing at doing something and just not feeling very well about it. Why is this fear of failure, associated with launches? And more importantly, how can we actually turn it into a positive experience, whether it does happen or not?
Failure is one of my favorite things to talk about and write about, and because it's something we encounter, that fear of failure along the way. It's all we can, something we can all relate to. I think fear comes from embarrassment, it comes from discomfort with change, because when you think, fear is actually an outcome that's different from the outcome you anticipated. So it can be something right. That's within your control, it right. can be something that is not within your control. The market may just, or the timing may just be terrible. I think how we can overcome is, first, we have to have a different relationship with failure. And it starts off with a different framing around how we see failure. One of my favorite quotes is with Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb. Someone came to him, because he tried numerous times, and someone had said to him, how does it feel to fail 10,000 times at trying to invent the light bulb? And his answer was, fail 10,000 times? I didn't fail. I just figured out 10,000 ways of how not to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that reframing with failure, seeing failure is not a destination, but it is part of a journey. You know, it is where we get stuck with failures if we let it paralyze us and we don't move forward from it. But if we perceive it as, this is, okay, it's an outcome unexpected, let's dive into why. What happened? Let's debrief and let's be honest about what happened so we can learn from it and come back with another iteration that's better, then failure is actually part of the journey to success.
Yeah, and what really sticks out for me is this idea that you mentioned of your mindset. So for me personally, if I fail at something, I get really angry, which then in turn motivates me to try again until I get it right. But I understand that for many people, whether it is through personal circumstance or experiences or just personality traits, they don't necessarily react in that way, and they can take it into a negative light. But I think what you say there is very important, because being able to turn a negative into a positive and actually look at it in a very analytical approach and say, well, okay, X has happened and we can't stop that. This has already happened. But what can we take away from it? And I think actually by doing that, when it comes to a sense of a launch, we can then apply what not to do.
Yes.
Just as, you know, Edison. Mr. Edison said, well, it's not that I got it wrong. I just know how not to do it. That's so eventually right. That leads to success, and it builds up into, I think over time, something very beautiful. Can you perhaps give us an example where failure has actually sprouted success in your work?
In my own personal work? Or
yes, it could be, yeah.
In stories.
It could be either.
So one of the stories, one of my favorite stories when it comes to, you know, a relationship with failure, is from a woman entrepreneur named Melissa Bernstein. And I've written about her in the book. So Melissa Bernstein started up the toy company, Melissa and Doug Toys, and it's one of the most successful toy companies in the world. Their toys are sold in 90 different countries.
Wow.
And they're loved toys, quality toys that is accessible in terms of price point for everyone, but quality toys, great customer service. And if you were to visit Melissa's office, behind her desk would be a wall of toys. And she would say, these are all the toys that they went through a rigorous process. great quality, but for some reason or another, when it went out into market, they failed. And she said a few years ago, they did a study on her rate of success for toys that went to market. And can you guess what her rate of success was in order for her business to be so successful?
Right. Well, I'm going to have a shot in the dark, but let's say 60 or 70%.
60 or 70%. You think that's high?
Yeah.
She said 40%.
Wow. Okay.
40%. And so then it becomes a numbers game, right? Because then the more you have to still go through a process and a lot of deliberation and intentionality behind it. But even then, 40%. And so you think about that, is a 40%. So if I were to say, let's go back to the students in university, and you say, if you could take a class that for sure will give you all the learning that would guarantee you for success later on in life, but the highest grade you can get is 40% of 100, would you take it? It's really hard to say yes.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lot easier to say no. But I think we have to reshift our relationship with our, and from those 60% that didn't make it out to market, she's thinking and she's trying to figure out what about it, so that next iteration, that number can become higher and higher.
Right, right.
Now, and I think I want to go back to something we talked about earlier, Miro, is, so for example, you shared how for you, failure makes you angry and motivates you, but
yes.
For others, it can paralyze them. I think for many of us, it paralyzes us. And that's why we need others. Because that resilience, I think there's a portrayal of resilience as an individualistic thing, something that we build ourselves. Resilience, I believe, comes from community, and it comes from generosity, and it comes from, you know, having that depth of emotional support in those around you. To have the confidence to fail has to come from, it's harder to do that by ourselves. It's a lot easier when we have others to help us with that emotional confidence.
Yeah, and I think in general, having a right mindset very much comes to your emotional state and mm-hmm. your emotional well-being. And that's something which I think has recently been given a lot of thought and a lot of attention mm-hmm. when it comes to personal and business relationships and our well-being in general when it comes
yes.
to that. And I think that's very important because, I mean, I know I'm using myself as an example, but the reason I can do that is because I have people in my life which I know I can depend on, and I know that they will support me in whatever I think is the right thing to do.
That's
and also
right.
If I say that I'm doing something wrong, they'll be there to call me out and say, stop being silly and get real.
Yes.
You know, and that's something that I always say, you know, when I need to give that support to people is get real.
Yeah.
And that often is a very blunt advice, but that's, you know, for our listeners, that's my advice to you for this week. Get real. and eventually you will get there. But I want to focus back to the book. And what do you think, in your experience, is actually the biggest obstacle that you've encountered when it comes to a successful launch in business?
I think there's two that comes to mind. One we already talked at length, which is the fear of failure.
Yeah.
Right? The other one, I think, is time. Time is a fixed constraint. Like, we don't get any
it's
more
a fixed
of it.
Resource. It's the one resource we cannot change.
No, we cannot get more of it. And that's why in my first chapter of the book is about controlling time. We may not
right.
be able to get more of it, but we can stretch it. We can stretch it by how do we get, if we spend time doing things that are energizing to us, then we can actually become more productive and do more within the allotted time we're getting. That's the stretching time. The idea of solitude and reflection, I think, is really important in terms also for that stretching time. We're in such a frenzied culture, I feel, that going at a frenzied pace, and we're also in a culture of comparisons. With social media, it's very easy. We see people's highlight reels,
yes,
right, and successes, and
yes.
we don't see like all the ups and downs that it takes to get there. So we imagine when someone sits down, they just wrote a book and it's the end.
Yeah, I just went away for a week. You know, I sat down in some holiday destination somewhere and there you go, book came out, which is not always the case, of course.
Or even absolutely. Like just the entire nature of putting together a podcast. People think, oh, you must have just sat down interviewing. But there's so much intentionality and work and
yes.
that goes into it. But we don't see that. And we're in a social media culture where we see highlights because those are the type of memories people want to remember, is like the end outcome, the positive outcomes. And we have to remember, and it's a comparison. Everything is known. That outcome is known. We have to catch ourselves not to compare so much and to remember that everything is a process, right? And so it within time, that's also a process. And one of the reasons why I'm adamant at the end of the book, because I know before when I look at friends who have written books, I think, oh, they must have really sat down and just wrote a book. And I knew that, now I know it, writing a book is really, really, really hard. And I wanted, and you go through a lot of that crazy thinking, saying even at one, so many points, I wanted to quit writing, and I have to find the why behind that motivating factor. And for it was, you know, something that I could read later, something that'll help me be braver in my own launches, or help my children be braver in their own launches, or help my students, or help the readers be braver in their own launches. And so in doing that, at the end of the book, I captured the launch of the launch book, where readers can see all these squiggly line up and down craziness and say, this is actually normal. This is a normal part of the launch process.
Yeah. And at the same time, it's relatable because, you know, what you said when it comes to showing off the best of us and in a frenzied world of social media and constant, you know, digitalization, it's easy to mask something.
Yes.
It's very easy to hide something.
Yes.
And often that can lead to a lot of competitiveness and a lot of comparison. But to me, I've always felt that's fake. because it's very easy to show how great something is. It's very easy to say how great you are. It's very, you know, easy to say how easy something is, right?
Right.
But that's never the case. And I think it goes back to your idea of time. And perhaps people don't have enough time to dedicate and actually show something in its fullest, but also it might be that fear of being exposed.
Yes.
And I think this happens a lot in today's world, especially in business. And we often try to hide the ugly parts of something. But as a matter of fact, I think that by showing, we create a connection, in this case, if you know, with the book, you have created a connection with those who will read it, which they can, you know, get to the end and they can read and they can say, wow, this really was a process of a launch. And this is realistically what it takes to write a book. And if you're, you know, you're inspired to write a book yourself or use the case studies and wisdom within the book, this is what you need to be prepared to do. There's no easy way of doing something in a way.
And as that idea of relatability, I mean, leadership is a lot of part of building that trust that's so critical to leadership. And by the way, we don't see leadership as position of power. It's really about influence. So trust is critical. With leadership, a lot of it is then closing the distance between the leader and the follower, and the relatability. With writing a book, it's closing the distance between the reader and the author, because once that distance is closed and there's that empathy and that connection, then there's that message is going to stick a lot more. And part of closing that distance is being able to be vulnerable, you know?
Yeah, and realistically, no one is invulnerable. I think that's just human nature within us. But I'd like to close off with the question I ask everyone on the podcast, and that is, what are you currently reading? Completely changing the topic here, but it's something that we really would like to know.
So I'm a mom of three, ages 7, 6, and 4, two wonderful girls and a wonderful little boy. And so I feel if you are looking at my nightstand, it's full of children's books. So from my oldest, she's starting on the Harry Potter books, and we're reading that together, all the way to Peter Rabbit, which is a childhood favorite. And a lot of, I love collecting first edition children's picture books because I think there's so much wisdom in picture books. So They All Saw a Cat is one that came out this year that I love. But some of the books that I keep going back to that's informed a lot of my thinking, one of them is called Mindset by Carol Dweck. And it's this idea of how do we move from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. So the idea that we talked about, this idea of growth. Okay, so we may have failed at this point in time, but we're not always at this point in time. We're always moving forward. So how do we have that growth mindset?
Yeah, that's very interesting. And actually, for those listening, if that sounds interesting to you, we'll include a link in the description below where you can also find out more about the idea of mindset. And while we're on the subject, if you're here in London, a good bit of trivia to know when it comes to Harry Potter books, actually, is that the recent play that we had, the continuation of Harry Potter, which takes, I think, something like 19 years into the future,
The Cursed Child.
They actually did release the transcripts of the two plays into a book form. So it's
Of
slightly altered into a book. So if that's all the rage right now at home, while you're here, maybe it'd be a good to grab them a copy, and I'm sure they'll have a great time with it. But with that, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Mira. And this has been a delight.
It's my pleasure. And of course, for those listening, if what we talked about today is of interest to you, you can find links in the description below where you can read more about the launch book, where you can purchase the launch book, and of course, links where you can find out more about Sanyin's work and Duke University, and you can catch up with everything they have been up to recently. We would like to thank you very much for joining us on this week's Lit Radio episode. And once again, we will very much look forward to seeing you again next week.